Well, the Europeans are an amazing story to tell. It's almost as though the Europeans haven't learned the lessons of their own history. And it's kind of sad and frightening to watch. Let me give you an example. After much struggle over the last century, the Europeans understood that having slaughtered one another on a scale the world had never seen before in two consecutive world wars, World War I and World War II, and having seen that those wars were fought by intense nationalisms in which Germans slaughtered French and the British slaughtered the Germans and so on and so on, they decided to try to build a unity, a unified Europe, and which now has, to its credit, a common European community, and for a subset of those countries, a common currency called the euro. Those are steps towards a United States of Europe, in a sense comparable to the United States of America. They had to have understood that simply creating a unified geographic area and even creating a unified currency, they still had to deal with the differences between the different parts of Europe in terms of their politics, but even more important, in terms of their economics. What brought Europe to world war were economic conflicts. They now admit that, whether they were around colonialism and imperialism before World War I, or whether they were around the struggle against the Soviet Union, which had a lot to do with World War II, and also colonial struggles in those days. The bottom line is, you're not going to survive, you're not going to achieve your goal of avoiding slaughtering one another if you do not take the time to create the equality, roughly, and the democracy without which people do not live in peace with one another. It's a sense being learned as a lesson here in the United States, too. That's why the issue of 1% versus 99 has come to the fore. Europe has the same issue, not only between rich and poor, but even more dangerously, between developed, relatively well-off economies and those that aren't. In order to make European unity succeed, therefore, the richest countries, those in the north of Europe, France and Germany and the Low Countries, to be blunt, and those in the east and south of Europe, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Poland on down to Romania and Bulgaria, there had to be some equilibration here. You had to do a little extra for the poor ones so that they were raised, and that might have to cost a little bit the rich ones in the interests of unity. It's a little bit like in the United States. We require more taxes to be paid by the richer states than they get back in government money, and we deliver more money to the poorer states compared to what they pay in taxes, something that their politicians conveniently forget when they beat up on the federal government, the Mississippi politicians being the grossest example practically on the planet of this sort of behavior, Republicans all. But the Democrats did the same before. Anyway, so in Europe, you failed to do that. In the 10 years, roughly, since the euro became a common currency, a little more than 10 years, you've had two countries, Germany and France, do relatively well. Germany, by the way, much better than France. And a whole bunch of countries do disastrously in the south. And now you are punishing the ones who didn't get the help they needed for being poor and having borrowed money, which the rich countries lent them. And you're getting this crazy conversation in Europe in which Germans refuse to help the Greeks, telling the Greeks that they're lazy and don't work hard, whereas we German, this smells, tastes, and sounds like what we used to call fascism or Nazism. It has terrible reverberations in the south of Europe. It makes Greeks and Italians hostile to the Germans in a way where you have to scratch your head to believe what's going on there. And what does it all come from? Here's the answer. And it's the same situation in the United States. In Europe, you have allowed a capitalism to develop that polarizes rich and poor within countries and across countries. This has now gone to a point where it's intolerable, where you are undermining the living conditions of a mass of people who can sit and look down the street at the other extreme, the 1%, who are living the life of Riley, imagining that this situation is not all going to collapse around them. This is the sign of decadence. It's the sign of empires towards the end, the twilight of their existence. This is the time in Europe and the United States to which historians will look back, as they do to the last years of every empire, wondering how in the world the people couldn't see the handwriting on the wall. You cannot have rich people and poor people living together in this way, with the rich becoming richer and the poor becoming ever more desperate. The only way to keep the lid on that situation is with a level of repression that makes life unbearable in the end for everybody. And that's when these systems collapse. Then what's left to those of us who see it is to say, my God, before it all hits the fan, can't we reasonably sit down? Not just those of us at the short end of the stick, but even those who think they're living the life of Riley, and to discover it's in your interest, too, to bring this system to a peaceful conclusion and set up a different one that works better. You know, in the days of slavery, the slave masters were very rich right till the end, and the slaves were in deep trouble. But eventually, those communities, sometimes in bloody ways, sometimes not, were able to realize that system had to go. No more masters, no more slaves. Likewise, in feudalism, eventually, no more serfs, no more lords. We are at a point in our history where we have to ask at least the question, is the difference between the employer class and the employee class about done? It's not working well. There's not a rising tide. It's not lifting all the boats. Time to move on. We can thank capitalism for what it contributed, a rate of technical advance that is remarkable in human history, a whole set of progressive steps for a while. But the negatives, the costs, have caught up. America can do better than capitalism.